Welcome to episode 11 of the Yuri Brito podcast. I am your host, Yuri Brito. I put a note on Twitter asking if anyone had any recommendations as to what we should talk about this evening. Our show runs from Monday through Thursday, so it's the last night of the week where we'll have a conversation about this. And there was an interesting recommendation on the nature of boycotting. Now, before we have this conversation, there is good news and bad news. The good news is that I've already expressed my view on this issue in regards to Christians already objecting to Chick-fil-A's recent decision to no longer support or give charity to the Salvation Army or the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. My own position is that we ought not to boycott Chick-fil-A. And apart from specific exceptions that I'll tackle at the end of this conversation, we shouldn't boycott at all. Now, the good news that I've already given my position, the bad news is that there are Christians there who are boycotting as if they are evangelizing the nations and fulfilling the Great Commission, when in reality is that they are embodying practices and rituals that actually stem from a very poor view of the world as Christians. This is episode 11. Thanks for joining the podcast. In the 19th century, there was a captain who refused to reduce rents after a poor harvest season. The local residents refused to sell him supplies, attend his fields, or even speak to him in passing. And so the landlord was reduced to depending on his wife and daughters to pick the crops while being protected by local constables. Eventually, he gave in and fled Ireland altogether. The tactic was so effective that newspapers in Britain and America were referring to it by the landlord's name, Charles Cunningham Boycott. Joe Carter, writing for the Gospel Coalition, tackles this issue rather insightfully when he talks about the question that we rarely ask as Christians. We often ask the question, will it be effective? But Carter says that we rarely weigh the more pertinent consideration, should Christians even engage in boycotts? And if so, when can they be legitimately used? Now let's take just a Chick-fil-A example as an illustration here of the conversation about boycotting here. So to boycott here is a reference to the act of refusing to use, to buy, or to deal with a business as an expression of protest or as a means of economic coercion. Let's use Chick-fil-A as a prime example here. Chick-fil-A has essentially rescinded their practice of supporting charitable organizations like the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. The underlying message is that these institutions support traditional marriage, even though in practice they provide the needs of the poor and the homeless in the LGBT community, but objectively and theologically, the Salvation Army takes a very strong stand on behalf of traditional Christian values in reference to sexuality. Nevertheless, Chick-fil-A is restructuring their entire charitable donation process, and they're going to begin to expand their market to other organizations that may be in favor of the LGBT agenda. And so the question is, will it be profitable if we boycott Chick-fil-A? And I've already read of many evangelicals doing so. But I want to tackle the further question, which Joe Carter brings to our attention, is should Christians even engage in boycotts in the first place? Now, boycotting is not simply refusing to buy something. Of course, anybody has that luxury. But boycotting is beyond that, is an expression of protest, as Carter defines, as a means of economic coercion. Essentially, the definition of boycotting means that you're forcing someone to adopt your beliefs, whether by violence or economic threat. And for the Christian, I don't think that's an option at all. The Christian does not make converts by coercing or forcing or by threatening people or institutions, threatening them economically, or even through other nonviolent means. Of course, we would decry and reject any form of violent threats. But the typical evangelical thinks that by boycotting, all they're doing is adding some economic turmoil to an institution that no longer cherishes their view of the world. But in reality, what's happening here is that by boycotting certain institutions, we're threatening them, a form of economic threat. We're saying they're no longer worthy of functioning in a society as contributors to the well-being of a culture in whatever services they provide. So at its very heart, boycotting is a form of economic threat. It's a form of coercion. And even though we may have reasons for not using certain products, when we come together as a group, when we form a community and say to one another, we'll no longer support this group of people because we don't agree with their agenda, what we're doing essentially is we are asserting our point of view through the act of coercion, through the act of economic threat. And I don't think the biblical logic allows us to use that as a methodology to bring about our desired goal in a society or in a culture. Rather, the Christian model is not to boycott, but the Christian model is to establish a way of engaging, of conversing, of building relationships and communities where a conversation about X, Y, or Z, or about an agenda, or about certain ways of doing things, or about selling and buying, or economic scenarios, where a conversation can be had, rarely, if ever, does the threat of anything function. And boycotting is a threat. Imagine if you came to your child and said, "Obey me, or I will no longer give you food." What child would willingly, intentionally, and joyfully come to you and say, "Father, I will serve you because you're threatening taking away my nourishment for my survival"? If anything, we are making converts twice members of hell by doing so. Now, when we come together as a group and form this allegiance and this society, and we say to ourselves, either they submit to our way or we're removing our financial contributions to that institution because they don't share our agenda. When we act that way, we're not seeking for conversation, for dialogue, for an open door for the gospel to thrive, but essentially we're allowing the system to continue. We're allowing them to continue to be hardened in their point of view. In other words, as Aaron Atwood writes at Christianity Today, what we are doing by boycotting is only fixing the symptom and not the underlying disease. Okay, very well. So boycotting is not a helpful approach. What do we do then? Do we simply sit quietly as Chick-fil-A changes their policy? Even though we Christians have supported them here in these United States so fervently, we have stood by them, we have bought their products, we have applauded them in their efforts of standing up against the mockery that they've received for their strong position on worship on Sunday and in support of traditional marriage. Since, in my estimation, boycotting is not a helpful means of achieving what we want as Christians, which is to transform a society under the authority of King Jesus, what do we do then? My good friend Robert Rothwell at Ligonier writes for Table Talk, where he essentially offers a few thoughts on how to proceed then. Certainly, I guarantee you that the kinds of things we're seeing on social media, especially on Twitter, from people like Rod Dreher and Michael Brown and lesser voices like myself, can actually have an impact, and so can yours. If you work in such institutions, you can have conversations with employees. If you have management that is very gracious to you, you can have conversations with them. Or as Robert Rothwell says, you can write letters to the editor of the local newspaper. You can have real conversations. Essentially, what you want is to provide an environment where the Christian voice is heard rather than immediately shut down, which is exactly what will happen if you rant and ridicule Chick-fil-A or other institutions who have taken the trajectory Chick-fil-A has. Find your local Chick-fil-A employee and tell them how concerned you are about their future. Tell them that you're saddened by their decision and enter into a genuine conversation with them, and you have a greater opportunity to convince or to make an impact than boycotting a place like Chick-fil-A. Remember, a week ago, Chick-fil-A was our ally. A week ago, Chick-fil-A spoke our language, and now they have changed their policy, even though it's been working for quite some time. Now, I'm sure these policy changes have been in the works. Remember how we felt a week ago, and now we feel very differently. Before, they were our friends. Now, many view them as even enemies of the gospel, I saw this year. They may be caving in to institutional pressures, but what we can't do is double down on their decision and say, we are removing our financial support, and until you submit to our way, We won't give any more money. In my estimation, this will only harden their perspective. And we're not changing hearts, nor are we changing the intellectual framework of an institution. But we're merely acting as tyrannical enforcers by threatening them economically. Now, are there higher institutions that threaten our way of being, our lives, that we should boycott? Certainly. That's a conversation for another time. But Chick-fil-A makes delicious sandwiches. We should go. We should support. We should continue to eat because they do make high-quality food and better services found nowhere, in my estimation. Continue talking. Continue building relationships. Continue articulating your views faithfully. And all these things will be added unto you. Boycotting is an easy option. The hard work of talking and changing hearts is a much more difficult task. And I encourage you to embrace the much more difficult task. I'm Yuri Brito, and this is the Yuri Brito Podcast.